I'm telling you right now, Antifa and Black Lives Matter actively lobbying right now to do snipers. And this goes hand in hand with the Cal exit threat too. And Trump is resisting war. Xi doesn't want war. Trump doesn't want war, but the deep state banking cartel that controls both countries' deep states desperately want war. And they need to get us into digital currency, like here in the United States, it's called the Fed coin. They need to get us into this as soon as possible before chaos breaks out and they can't control hyperinflation any longer. From a globalist perspective, COVID is robbing human beings of their humanity. It's robbing them of their civil liberties. It's teaching that whoever runs the government under us is supreme over you, and you will do what you say. You'll wear the symbol of oppression, which is a face mask. You'll stay 6 feet apart. We'll control if your kids go to school. We'll control every aspect of your life.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwessel.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwessel. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. What would be the point of creating long-term trauma on the entire youth of a population?
Okay, human beings are automatically programmed to affiliate. And so when they're young, it's their parents. And then their circle of affiliation grows to their peers. And that's why peer influence is so strong in the junior high and high school years. Now you're keeping them away from their peers. You're also making them social distance when they're with their peers. They have to wear a mask so they can't communicate effectively. You can't read facial expressions, which is 93% of all communication, which is body language. This is well done by them. And you know, I don't know if you know this by background. I was a psychology professor for many, many years, and I've written courses, and I've taught body language. And I can tell you everything they're doing is classic how to divide people. How to keep people from having a collective or cohesive whole. And this is why the schools, the Democrats are trying to close down the schools, because even with the restrictions at the schools, the kids would at least get to be with other kids, and they don't want that. Now, let's talk about this theory about you have to affiliate, you have to identify, you bond. Well, if you're not bonding to peers, okay, when the takeover comes over and Big Brother is putting food on your table and water on your table, that's like the Stockholm syndrome, where we bond with our captors. This is what they're going to get in mass from these people who are kids as they grow into adulthood and they don't have firm affiliations, firm footage of bonding. They're going to bond with the government and they become basically mind control slaves. And this is like a Hitler youth movement on steroids.
It's, oh God, I didn't want to hear that from you, but that makes a lot of sense. These people are that evil and that crazy right now, aren't they?
But yeah, well, you have to understand, these people are also mentally ill. Look at Pelosi. She's an alcoholic. I mean, I don't think she's made a sober public statement in 2 years. And then you look at Nadler. I mean, he wouldn't let Barr go to the bathroom after 3 hours of testimony. He's not just petty, he's evil. And you look at AOC, evil. I mean, she was in wet t-shirt contests when the social justice warriors from former Bernie Sanders campaign workers found her, and they recruited like the Squad and all these other radical Democrats, and they wrote their agendas for them and had them defeat more centrist Democrats in primary elections. And this is how we ended up with the Green New Deal. By the way, the Green New Deal was not created by Cortez. It was created by the brain trust of Franklin Roosevelt, and he rejected it. That's where it came from. Pat Wood has actually uncovered that from Technocracy News.
Yep.
Pat Wood has said, Dave, this is where it came from. We've done shows on this.
Well, AOC is just crazy. But do you know who Sherry Edwards is, who was born with the
ability? I just interviewed Sherry.
She's amazing, right? And so you probably got the same stuff. She was talking about what she learned about Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris is a psychopath. She didn't say that because she can't, because she'll get sued. But what essentially the outcome and what she analyzed shows that she's a psychopath and that she gets off on manipulating others.
That part on the personal end, I don't know. I know Sherry believes that. Okay. And I think she's on firm ground. What I do know about Harris, Alexandra Daly and I uncovered this when she was first in the presidential primary. She blocked pedophiles from the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, from getting justice for child sex trafficking. Not inappropriate relationships, but trafficking.
Exactly. She's the only AG in the country that did not prosecute for child trafficking in the church.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So to me, that's one of the main reasons she was put up there, is because she's completely controlled.
Well, the leadership in the deep state are all child traffickers.
Yes.
So that's why she's their choice. They were trying to promote her. I remember early in the Democratic primary, she had easily raised the most money, way more than Biden, but she only had 7% of approval from Democrats, and 93% were spread out among the other candidates. And they had to withdraw her because all her dirt came out from people like myself and Alexandra Daly and Sherry, and they tried to take her out and hide her. Now you can't talk about Harris without being risk deplatformed or like me, you know, demonetized. They're pulling out the stops to protect her. But see, it wasn't just that she did the anti-trafficking prosecution. There was mainstream media journalists that were upset with her over this, and they tried to obtain files, and she blocked Freedom Information Acts blatantly. Geez. You can't do that as a public official, but she did.
I don't know if it was her chief of staff or her campaign. Somebody in her organization that high is now the communications director for Twitter. That I know. I just can't remember what position they had in Harris's
organization. Yeah, you know, I've read this now, and I'm trying to – okay. The Twitter guy who censored Trump was associated formerly with Harris. That I remember.
Yeah, and it was a big person in her. It was either her in charge of her campaign or as her chief of staff or one of those positions.
Yeah, I don't remember the name or the position, but I do remember the event. Because I actually did a podcast and I asked Trump, when are you going to take action against social media? They're defying your executive order about no censorship.
Yeah, blatantly. And, you know, the thing is, I ran into a woman. She was very nice. She was just a clerk at a store. And she was talking to me and she was really jolly. And I thought she was a nice person. She wasn't very smart. And it came out, she was leaning socialist and that she would vote for Biden because she just hates Trump. She absolutely hates this guy. And I asked her, why do you know, what has he done that's so bad? And she said, you know, she just said that he supports the wealthy, the BS, she was manipulated, right? And I told her, yeah, but they're doing all the censorship. And even she said, oh, I don't like that. And I said, yeah, they're deleting doctors. I had 10 doctors videos, 10 now, I was at 9, now I got 10 that were deleted from YouTube. And she said, oh, so even those people heard about it and don't like it.
Yeah, but they don't let it override their core propaganda. Here's what I say to people like
this.
I know,
but I had to say that.
No, I agree. But here's what they're missing. Okay, I had this discussion with a black woman. And listen, she's nice. She's a good person. I like her, but she's blind to Trump. And she didn't need Trump to be successful. Well-educated, has made money before Trump came into office. But I said to her, okay, You think Trump is a racist, but who are the greatest beneficiaries of his programs? The rich? I said, yes, because the rich had to be incentivized to bring jobs back to America. So we had record unemployment with blacks, Hispanics, and women, and we had record wage gains among all three groups. So you're correct that Trump has favored the rich, but we truly had a trickle down that we didn't get with Reagan when we see these three groups prospering more than ever before in history. So how is that being a racist? And she really didn't have a very good answer.
Well, you can't benefit one group without the other.
Yeah, exactly.
It does. All boats rise together. And the thing is that there are going to be boats that get a larger percentage because that's kind of how things are set up. And it's not, yeah, I don't like it either, but it is what it is. But all boats rise together. And that's the concept. You can't say, I want you guys to lose at the benefit of us. No, we're all in this together. And that's what they're missing. And okay, let's get back to some of these really important things that I know you're just in a wealth of information. I love this interview. What do you think about Australia and the measures that they're doing with, I mean, the prime minister just publicly stated that they're going to force vaccinations for COVID-19, never mind the fact that it hasn't gone through the proper testing.
I know.
This scares the heck out of me. He said only under certain medical conditions that somebody might not have to do it, but they will do every measure they can to force vaccinations from not being able to, you know, all the social, you won't be able to go to school, you won't be able to get a job, you won't be able to do anything if you don't get vaccinated.
Well, when Australians willingly gave up their guns, they told me everything I needed to know. And I have a pretty big following in Australia and New Zealand, and we should talk about New Zealand because it's actually worse than Australia. But with Australia, they took away the guns preemptively so people can't resist. In fact, when the University of Hawaii had their democide project and they studied genocides in the 20th century, all 16 of them were preceded by gun confiscation. That is not an accident. The Australian government is prepared to genocide anyone who resists. So having said that, COVID is the excuse, but there is also a parallel activity in Australia. I get a lot of communications from Australia and from my radio show and on Global Star Radio Network. And what they tell me is that entire villages of Chinese are coming into Australia. And it's more in remote areas or villages outside remote areas. But the Australians are upset because they're having trouble getting baby formula now, diapers, and these Chinese are bringing their kids, their young kids, and it's almost like it's deliberate. And so they're upset about that. I also did an article on Australian education, and the Chinese are taking over Australian education in much the same way they are here in America. So that's an international plot. Now, having laid that background, Australia is clearly in the throes of the globalists, clearly. And the globalists control every aspect of their government, and the people are going to be victimized. And I have written this many times. Australia, New Zealand, and Venezuela, I'm convinced, are beta tests for what they're going to do here. Starvation, control of food to control the population is basically Venezuela's main asset to the globalists right now. They're testing what they can get away with and what works and doesn't work to control the population. With Australia, it's gun confiscation and how far can we go? And this is where the camps that Bill Ayers, Obama's benefactor politically, talked about. This is where the camps will emanate from. And they've even said in Australia, and they said it in New Zealand too, non-compliers will go to isolation camps and there'll be extermination camps. And we have them here. I've interviewed Celeste Salam a number of times, and she confirmed what I found in 2014. When I first found a document called ESF number 8 from Human Health Services and the UN, and they had these medical martial law camps run by FEMA, and they said, well, you'll send people with sniffles or really vague symptoms to go to these camps. And I looked at the 17 participating agencies, and not one of them was a medical service agency. They were always like FBI, DHS. But you weren't going there to be treated for anything. You were going there to be exterminated. And Celeste has picked up on that. And she took my EFS document and went to number 14. So 9 through 14, and Celeste and I have interviewed on that, and we compared notes. Well, the same thing is getting ready to happen in both New Zealand and Australia. Isolation of non-compliers, but even isolation of people who are symptomatic. Prime Minister Ardern, and she's a Hillary Clinton, and she is the Prime Minister of New Zealand. She has said we are sending people who are COVID positive to isolation, and she doesn't specify what kind of treatment they'll get. Are they going to be fed? What about the rights of the family to know where their family members are that have been taken? Can they visit? Can they talk by phone? None of the New Zealand media is a bunch of pansies, and they're refusing to ask the hard questions. I've seen some press conferences with her, and these people won't ask anything. And she is a total dictator. And here's what also she said. If you don't want to take the vaccine, we'll take you to a camp. We'll hold you for 14 days, and if you won't take the vaccine, we'll hold you for another 14. And then she gave this really smirky look and said, hey, by that time, we'll get most people to take the vaccine. And that's pretty much how she said it. So New Zealand also going after gun confiscation. In fact, let me tell you what's probably going to come here through our phones. In fact, I think it's already happening. In New Zealand, they're putting up QR codes on all buildings. They have to be installed by tomorrow. And so when you go into a building, you're required to take your cell phone and scan it on the QR code, and they're doing it for contact tracing. But here's the deal. You're not scanning when you leave. This is what's scary. They're not even trying to establish, you know, proximate contact, because not only do you have to have the same place, you'd have to have people there at the same time. Well, they're not interested in the same time. This is the flaw in their system. So I might leave 6 hours earlier than you, Sarah, but you come in and you're COVID positive, they're coming for me. And this is an excuse, I think, for them to do selective enforcement to get the dissidents out of the way. And this is what I think is coming here with our apps on our phones.
Yeah, there's a huge network of cooperation between all the high-tech companies. And I think that, you know, when it comes to the spying, what they don't want people to realize is how deep the web is between the intelligence, the secret spying, and all these high-tech companies and all in our phones and everywhere else. And one thing that Galati said on my interview is that in New Zealand, if a 7-year-old is tested to be positive, it never mind the fact that these tests aren't really all that accurate from what we're finding out, because they can't isolate the virus like they thought they could. Because
Sarah, let me just say this real quick. April 18th, the FDA Commissioner Hahn came out, and I've got the document on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, and he said, due to the emergency nature of the situation, we're not requiring the test manufacturers to validate their test results. Well, I used to teach research and stat at a university, and I wrote classes for it. I know this inside and out. If you can't give measures of validity, reliability, usually in correlation coefficient form, and you don't have margins of error for accuracy, you don't have a test. And that's how in Florida on July 11th, 334 stations reported 100% positivity testing. The test is meaningless. So your source that you interviewed was exactly right.
Well, yeah. And okay, so these tests, but the other thing, Sherry Edwards said this, is that they keep changing from what they initially put up there on what the definition of the strand was, the COVID strand, they changed it. So they're just playing games. But regardless, what they're doing in New Zealand, if somebody tests positive, 7-year-old tests positive, and the rest of the family tests negative, they'll take that 7-year-old out all by themselves to a camp and force vaccinate them.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, think of how traumatic that is. Now, if we're not entering in Nazi territory, I mean, this is worse than what the Nazis did, as far as I'm concerned.
It's even further than that. When I was doing my radio show, 2008, 2009, and I grew up in Colorado, and I have two friends, lifetime friends, that are in law enforcement. Well, they're now retired, but they were in law enforcement. And they contacted me a couple weeks apart, and DHS at the time, and it was under Napolitano at the time, they were doing drills in Colorado, and they were doing drunk driving roadblock type of deals. And you're about ready to have a holy poop moment when you know about how the vaccines are going to be scannable if you've had it. They were doing this test where they'd have crisis actors pull up in a car. And they'd come up with this imaginary scanner. It was just a mock device, but they would scan the alarms of the occupants of the car. Well, Mr. Jones, you and your wife and your kids have not been vaccinated yet. And they say, we'll give you a chance right here. You can come over here to our tent and we'll give you a vaccination, give you some Gatorade and send you on your way. And then they said, well, no, we don't want to do that. Well, then you have a choice. You'll go on that bus, Mr. Jones. Your wife will go on that bus, and your kids will go on that bus, and you'll be lucky if you see each other again. And this was part of the drill, and they held the drill outside Trinidad, Colorado, on Interstate 25 and I-70 outside Grand Junction. And I had both of these guys call me and give me detailed information. He said, Dave, they had chase cars on the side. And I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, Dave, if you pull up and you see drunk driving, some people try to turn around and go the other way. And they had the chase cars there to simulate the rundowns. And he told me, this one guy told me too, and he was pretty high up in their state patrol. He said that they're actually moving forward with a plan, and you've probably seen this now, that in these medians of these highways, they're putting pylons so you cannot turn around and cross over to the other side. And he told me this was coming, and he said, I guarantee this is part of it. Now, this was during the H1N1 scare. And he thought at the time, oh, my gosh, they're going to force vaccinate everybody because of H1N1. Well, they didn't, because the squalene and the adjuvants of the vaccine were exposed and people rebelled, and they knew they weren't going to get anywhere with it. But they're going to use this strategy in America. And we know that the vaccines carry a signature that are scannable for compliance sake. The ID 2020 program is part of this with Bill Gates. And they're going to have roadblocks and checkpoints. And this is part of what I think they're implementing in New York. It's not who's coming in and who's infected. They could care less about that. They're establishing the PSYOP that they can stop people on the street, stop their cars, and then check them and try to mass vaccinate them.
I've had someone tell me that they don't think that they're going to go forward with this vaccine now, that they're going to regroup and do it later because it's been too exposed and that there's going to be too much of a pushback. But I'm seeing so many, this was a couple months ago, but now that I'm seeing all these moves, what they're doing in New Zealand and Australia and elsewhere and New York, that I almost think they don't care if there's a pushback.
They don't. You're right. In fact, here in Arizona, it's funny, Lisa Haven, by the way, people should pray for her. After she sent me the message I'm going to talk about, she went into severe abdominal pain and she had appendicitis surgery yesterday. And I don't know how that's turned out yet. Hopefully her husband will reach out to me, or I'll be able to reach out to him. But Lisa sent me something from our governor, and they said, well, you can go back to complete normal when the following happens: eradication of the virus. And I've been writing about that. When I taught research at the university level, and I used to teach it for 4.5 years to people getting their dissertations, and we would use medical modeling because it used to be really good on how to set up a research study and all the protocols that go with that. And medical modeling was always about, when you're dealing with a virus, that you don't work towards eradication. That's impossible. You can quarantine early on, contact trace to see how bad it is. And after a week, contact tracing is a waste. But then what they try to do after that is they try to work towards herd immunity. Okay, now, I've been going absolutely nuts on my broadcasts and in my writing and say, why are we abandoning herd immunity? This is the first time in viral history. All these medical textbooks that I'm aware of say herd immunity. Well, just last week, USA Today interviewed 3 establishment doctors, and they said the only way to get herd immunity now is through a vaccination.
Oh my God.
The first time in history, Sarah, that that's ever been said. It's not validated. It's not true. But because enough people like me are talking about herd immunity, they had to address it.
Yeah, and I was talking about it too. Everything they're doing on this is BS. We're not even in a pandemic. Yep. It's all manufactured.
No. Did you see, where are the bodies in the street? There are no bodies in the street.
We would all know. This is all BS. Plus, I got obsessed with trying to figure this out. And I know that they can pretty much, unless somebody's very, very sick already and they have a comorbidity, other than that, they can keep everybody alive. You know, I mean, there would always be exceptions, but this is not an illness that we should be worried about at all. It's like they picked the wrong thing to do this with, and now they're going after it. I'm concerned that they'll put out a new bioweapon that might actually be for real.
I think they have it waiting in the wings if they can't subjugate us with this. I agree with you. I don't have any proof, except I've heard there's something new loose in China. But I don't have any details on that, so I can't really speak intelligently to that. But I think your logic is right on the money.
I don't put anything past them because of the fact that Gulati has proof that 14 to 1, the number of deaths from the mandates. And this is already happening. 14 to 1 deaths from the virus versus the mandates, you know, from suicides, drug overdose, heart attacks. When people lose their job, you know, you're going to, he was saying 100, this is yet to come, 130 million people from starvation above normal rates. We're talking a tsunami of problems that are going to come. So we're already using, I mean, assuming that U.S. is close to what Canada is at 14 to 1, we're already at 14 to 1. Let's say we're probably in the ballpark. What will it be once this all hits us? Once they stop getting their checks, their $600 or $400 checks, what will that rate really be? So these guys are clearly showing their hands that this is not about protecting health. And the more people that wake up, at least we can have an army of people pushing back. But you being a psychologist, tell me why. It's like the guards at Nazi Germany death camps. Why would anybody help them with this agenda?
Do you know about the Milgram experiment?
Is that the one that was in Stanford?
No.
Or is that the one where they buzzed?
That's the Zimbardo prison study.
No, this is the one where they buzzed people and they
Yeah. With briefly what they did, Stanley Milgram in the early 60s, he kept hearing, we could never be like the Nazis. We're so much better. We're Americans. Yay, yay. And he says, I'm not so sure this is true. I think in the right conditions, people will just bend to the authority figures. So he devised an experiment where he had an English teacher wear a lab coat and carry a clipboard. And all he could say to get the subject to go along with really bad directions, he would say, you must continue or we'll have to discontinue the experiment. And they would bring in a subject and sit him in front of a panel where he's going to administer electric shocks for a wrong answer on a word pair test. But he couldn't see the subject. They took the subject after they met and developed a kind of a connection there. And they took the subject to a different room, but he could hear the subject through wiring. And so he'd read like horse, dog, cat, and fish. And they're supposed to choose fish because that was the wrong answer. And they'd say, horse, I'm sorry, 25 volts. And you'd hear the guy go, eh. And by the time they got up the scale and on the screen, you could see where it'd say, danger, do not shock. So they're telling him this is a dangerous thing to do. And Milgram predicted when the experiment started that based on non-coercive instructions with no more than you must continue or we'll have to discontinue the experiment, he thought 1% would comply. And on the final day of the experiment, he actually videotaped it because he didn't think anyone would believe the results. 2 out of 3 people in the Milgram experiment would have shocked someone to death based on minimal orders from an authority figure. Two out of three. So when you look at that, now here's the good news, Sarah, this is really good news. I used to teach in my social psychology class, okay, well, how do we overcome Milgram? The fact that you've heard this, Sarah, and your audience has heard it, has almost inoculated them to it. Because people, if they think they have a choice and they know there's a precedent for having a choice, then they're going to refuse. And those numbers drop by half. So in other words, only about a third of the people that didn't follow the authority figure's orders. And it really becomes really interesting. We're getting buzzed by the F-35s. You hear that?
Yeah.
How interesting is that? But anyway, the interesting thing to me about the Milgram experiment, it explains today why people wear face masks in cars. They're submitting to wearing face masks in their home when they live alone. I mean, I pulled up to a guy, no kidding, and I'm at the stoplight, and I didn't mean to be rude. I truly didn't. And I looked over, and this guy, 110-degree heat, and he's got his windows up and his air conditioning on. And I look over, and he has his face mask on. He's by himself, and I just started laughing. And he flipped me off. And the guy was probably about 70 years old. And I'm just thinking, this is the brainwashed people.
It is. I know.
And you saw that 2-year-old on JetBlue Airlines, and you saw how that flight attendant acted. These people are going total Gestapo right now. They're getting filled with power that they don't have in their lives. So there's some of that. So you're seeing, I've noticed the clerks and the waitresses are becoming increasingly hostile. I actually had someone, I was walking out of a restaurant and I'm past the cash register and I'm like 5 feet from the door and I start taking my mask off and they yelled at me.
Well, can you explain? Because I have a medical condition card because I have a problem and I've had this my whole life that I can't, if I feel like my breathing is restricted, I panic. And I never really thought about it until I got into this situation, and now it's being forced upon me. And so Patrick Wood, I use his card just so I can, get into places, because I was so scared when they were going to put down the mask that I wouldn't even be able to go anywhere. But thank God our governor said under certain, you know, people with medical conditions don't have to comply. But there are certain places like Menards that they go above what the governor's mandates are, and they're discriminating against people with medical conditions, and they don't care.
Yes. Airlines too.
What is their issue?
In fact, the restrictions say too.
There's 30 to 40% of the people in our population who actually have issues, and these people are willingly discriminating against these people.
It's about the compliance. We're making you a symbol of the tyranny by wearing a mask and all the other things I talked about psychologically. Most governors have instituted no mask for 2 years old and below. I think in Arizona, I think it's 5 and below. But here you're on JetBlue Airlines, and a mother of 6 kids gets thrown off the plane because she can't keep the face mask on her kid's 2-year-old face.
Oh, for God's sake.
And then she said, well, I'll hold it on. And the flight attendant, I kid you not, the flight attendant said, it's too late. You've got to get off. It's
oh, for
late.
God's
That's
sake.
What she said. Now, you should have seen the people around her, though. She got called very unkind names. I mean, it's not for family show. I can't play the tape on my show. But
you mean the flight attendant got called names?
Oh, big time. Big time.
Good.
But they made the plane deplane because of rowdiness. They made everyone get off the plane. And I, if I would have been there, I'd have been saying, everybody, sit down and do not move. Make them call the police and drag us off. That's publicity they don't want.
Exactly. Make them drag us off and make them have the publicity show that JetBlue wasn't allowing a 2-year-old to go. And there isn't a case in the world where a 2-year-old infected an adult. You know, like in the school environments, they don't have a single example in the world of where a student infected a teacher, yet they want to close down the schools. Because there are some countries that stayed open. There's quite a few, and they studied them. You have to have some kind of cases to be able to prove that this is a real threat. Yeah, it could happen. I mean, I could get hit by lightning if I go outside.
No.
I can't say it can't happen, but you have to have cases to make it a reasonable thing for us to protect against.
I've had this discussion with people. Some are officials, some are school officials, and I'll say, you know, eradication's not possible. It's never happened. We'll be dealing with this for 40, 60 years, maybe 100. And they said, yeah, but we got to keep the restrictions on because one kid can't get it. And I said, do you understand what I meant by eradication? That means it totally goes away. And well, as long as there's one student who could get it. And I go, you want your students to get it so they get herd immunity and they basically help the rest of us. Well, what about the kids who have asthma? I said, well, then you teach them virtually. That might be 15% of your population, and your teachers might represent maybe 25% of that population. I said, let them teach virtually. And I said, but don't punish everybody else. And I said, otherwise, you're never going to reopen your school. You're not going to have businesses reopen. And I said, your kids will not be allowed to play sports. Is that what you want? Well, we can't let kids get it. This is the mindset I deal with. It just drives me up the wall.
Well, and why didn't you think about this with the flu? The flu's way worse, and we didn't do that. The thing is, these people are easily manipulated because they can't think beyond their fear, and the mass media is controlling them. The mass media are evil. I mean, honest to God, watching this mass media go on day after day, when the number one pediatric hospital talks about how it's long-term trauma and they should not be doing this to kids, and they don't care. You know, these people, where are the adults in the room? You know, it's us talking, but where are the adults?
That's because we're substituting government for the third parent. That's why we don't have the adults.
Yeah, I know. I know the answer for that. It's just, I got to say it. Okay, well, how do people follow you? Because you have amazing information. I am really impressed with what you have. Where can they follow you? They need to be following you.
And thank you.
Give us your spiel.
Okay. Well, you can find us on thecommonsenseshow.com. We're also on KYH Radio, Global Star Radio Network, and Red State Talk Radio, and YouTube, as long as they let me stay there because they demonetized me and won't tell me why. But we've also started a new venture, and it's exceeded my expectations. It's grown beyond belief. It's called thecommonsenseshow.tv. And it's only $30 a year, $250 a month. And that just pays for storage. I just want to get the info out and not have YouTube censor me. And it's commercial free. And if you can't remember the commonsenseshow.tv, if you go to my website, there's a banner ad for it in red at the top of the page. Click it on. It'll take you right there, and you get a 7-day free trial to see if you like it. And people like you are on it, Sarah, and you are awesome.
Thank you so much. And they should be doing that, because when YouTube censors us and everybody else censors us, they have to have different ways to get to you. That's why I always tell people to sign up for my newsletter and for you to get to your website and to sign up for however. Do you have a newsletter as well?
I do. It comes out every morning. It comes as a product of my website. It publishes the last 10 articles.
Oh, excellent. And they can just sign up for that by going to your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah.
Okay. And then everyone needs to do that, because that's number one. They need to do that. And if they can afford, which people should be able to afford, $30, if at all possible, sign up for that as well.
For the year.
That's a good price. Thank you so much for everything you do and that you keep doing and keep fighting. I mean, we're all in this. When we say we're all in this together, we really are. When they say we're all in this together, they don't mean it. When we say it, we actually mean it.
Well, they're right about we're all in this together. We're all in prison together, and we're trying to break out.
Exactly. That's exactly.
But thanks for having me on. It's really been a pleasure to be with you, Sarah.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Take care.